You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday. It is September 19th. It is 2016. You're listening to episode 224, I think.
Maybe.
I think something like that. Well, I'm sure it was in the title of the episode, well, and you'll know better than we do right now. I'm too lazy to actually check. My name is Rob. Jason might be checking right now, or might be looking his email. I don't know.
No, I'm actually checking.
Are you? Well, good for you.
I kind of want to know.
I kind of don't care. Oops, I forgot to put that on silent. That's a thing. While you guys are hearing this, we have already gotten back from Grand Con. We are recording this before Grand Con. Oh, it's 225 now. Okay. It's episode 225.
I told you.
You were right and I was wrong. Moving on. So Grand Con is over, and next week you'll be hearing the episode that we record at Grand Con.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's cool. I'm sure that it was a great weekend and that nothing caught on fire, nothing burned down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The Unreal Estate Kickstarter may or may not be live right now.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay.
It might be. So,
yeah, boy, we talked that up last week pretty hard.
It'll be live sometime between now and the end of... It could be live right now, or okay. It will be live by the end of the month.
Okay.
So they're just shuffling around a couple things, making sure we got everything in order. All the things you do before a Kickstarter.
Yep.
We just happen to have a podcast and have publicly announced when it was before I probably should have. So, anyways, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I have something here on the table for
us. I see you've got this mysterious bag that I can tell has bottles in it, yeah. But I literally have no idea what's in said bottles.
I told you via text message a while ago, but you may have forgotten.
I did.
So Christine and I had a vacation in Kentucky.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, and we found at a store there... Oh, first of all, we did find Ale 8.
Yes.
Or a late, I think it's just Ale 8.
I think it's Ale 8, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I thought it was very tasty.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Another
regional
soda.
It wasn't one of my, like, I would not buy that one again.
Yeah.
But I know you really dug it.
I liked it very much. Yeah, we brought a six pack home, and that's made in Winchester, Kentucky. We drove actually right past the factory on the way to where we were going, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
But we found this in a Kroger. This is Bourbon Barrel Cola.
Oh, you did tell me about this.
I did.
I'm excited about this.
Now, so we brought a 4-pack of this home with us because that was the only size that we could find and didn't drink it. And then after we got home, Christine had a bottle and she was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And then she drank a second bottle the next day. And I have not tasted it yet because
I was
waiting
for
this.
Idea. Oh,
right.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah. So it's twist off. Hopefully it's not too tight of a twist off.
I got it.
All right. So...
It smells like bourbon and cola mixed together.
It does, yeah. It
literally does. Mm.
It's pretty good.
I could drink that.
Yeah. It's pretty tasty. I like that.
Now, to be clear, this is non-alcoholic?
This is non-alcoholic.
Okay.
Bourbon Barrel naturally flavored cola. Yeah. Private Selection, I guess, is the brand. I feel like this might even be like the Kroger store brand or something. Because I've never heard of Private Selection sounds like a store brand, doesn't it?
It does.
Like
it
a fancy
like
store
a
brand?
Brand?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Makes me wish that we had Kroger's around here.
Yes. Hey, if you're coming to Grand Con and passing through Kentucky. Oh, it's too late now, Craig, because
yeah.
You're already there.
Oh, well.
Nate, where were you, man? Read our minds. Drive through Kentucky. I'm pretty sure he doesn't drive through Kentucky on the way up. That would be
we
way out of the
email.
Way.
He probably doesn't.
It's way out of the way.
Yeah, it's super out of the way.
Basically, if they have a Kroger, they might have it, though.
Anyway, yeah, that's pretty tasty. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I am a fan.
Bourbon Barrel Cola. Yeah, it seemed to fit well with our vacation. We stopped at the Jim Beam Stillhouse on our way down to Mammoth Cave.
Right.
Which was very cool. Christine and I have done a lot of alcohol tours for spirits and beer and wine. And that was a pretty impressive facility.
Nice.
Yeah. And I will say, builders, if you've not been to Mammoth Cave, it's worth a trip. It's a cool place. Very cool place.
I hear it's really big.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's
almost mammoth.
I think like 430 miles of caves have been mapped so far. And there's
a lot.
Areas they haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
The largest cave system in the world.
Is it, though?
It is.
But there's that newer one they found in Vietnam that's like crazy. Have you?
Mm. Oh, I don't know about that.
The new one in Vietnam they found. Oh, you should look at some of the pictures. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as of yet. It's not as long as Mammoth Caves and such. Mm-hmm. But it has a main chamber that is. It has a main chamber that mm-hmm. when you are on the ground and you climb to the next chamber, it's kind of like climbing a mountain.
Mm.
Like it's like. I want to say like 1,000 feet or something. Sure. Like you're climbing up and over this thing. Like for a long time, they thought it was a dead end. They didn't realize there was this whole cave behind it because, yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, there might be a specific cave that has a larger open chamber or something.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But the U.S. Park Service is definitely still claiming that this is the largest cave system in the world.
Right. It probably is. Or at least the largest discovered one in the world,
you know. Sure, yeah, right, as far as we know,
which is fair as to say that,
yeah but yeah, pretty impressive. A nice place. However, don't stay at Mammoth Cave Hotel or eat at either of the two food places that they have there, because it's interesting. There's like the U.S. Park Service facility, which is beautiful and very well maintained,
mm-hmm.
and then right next to that is the hotel and a couple of restaurants that I don't think are owned, or at least they're not managed and maintained
by the Park Service,
because they are dumps. They are dumps.
Is that where you stayed?
No, oh, no, good. Luckily, no. But we went over there to the gift shop and for lunch. Dumps. Yeah, so don't stay at Mammoth Cave Hotel. Also, they have cabins there. I would not recommend staying at those cabins, because those also look like dumps. Like, you'd be better off sleeping in a tent than staying in one of those cabins. Not to disparage our National Park Service.
Well,
I mean, congratulations on their, I think it's 100-year anniversary of this
year. Sure, sure.
Yeah. 100 years? No,
it was. Cave's been around a little longer than that.
It's more than 100 years.
I don't know.
Anyway, they have a big anniversary this year.
Congratulations!
Big anniversary this year for the U.S. Park Service, and that's super awesome. It's
300 years, yay! That'd be interesting.
There's 300 years. I think it might be 100 years. I don't know.
It's not 300, I can tell you that.
I bought a sweet keychain.
It's not even 250. So. Yeah.
But it doesn't have the number of years on the keychain that I bought.
Right. Well,
it's a neat keychain though. It's a nice little piece of art on the.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a Kickstarter real quick.
All right.
Have you seen the Kickstarter for fidget cubes?
Yeah, I have. I really want to buy one.
I already bought two.
Yeah, I really want one.
So I was like, I really want one of those. Kopak had tweeted about it. I was like, oh, I need one of those. And then Steph saw it on Facebook, and she's like, I won't order me one.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll order two.
I'm so bad. I need things in my pocket to fidget with.
And though that is amazing, like. It has like all the main fidgety things you could want.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest concern about the Kickstarter, which is also the concerns of the people making these,
uh-huh.
is that they've already hit $3.5 million and have 80,000 backers.
Oh, there's no way they're going to be able to fulfill all that.
Well, not by Christmas. Likely they are hiring a staff of people, because it was just these two guys.
Yeah.
Just these two guys, you know, they're just making fidget cubes.
Uh-huh.
And then it went gangbusters. I mean, they set this campaign for like 50 days.
Oh, wow.
It still has like 20 days left. It's already at $3.5 million. Like, this could get to like $7 or $8 million.
That's great.
So, I mean, they're basically opening a company now.
Uh-huh. Their video was really good.
I actually didn't even watch the video.
Oh, yeah. The video's
I saw
good.
The fidget cube and was like, done.
Yeah. It was, I mean, you remember the Dice Rings video, which is still, I think, the best Kickstarter video of all time.
Yeah.
The best. This one was pretty close to that in quality.
Nice.
Yeah. In just humor and, like, yeah. All right. They knew what they were doing.
I feel like that Dice Rings commercial is like a video version of what a Flip the Table commercial would look like. Is that fair? I feel like that's fair.
It certainly has the same sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I want. We're buying a house right now also, so I got to cut back on. I mean, not that I back a lot of Kickstarters anyway, but like Christine and I have kind of always had an understanding that I won't go crazy with backing a bunch of Kickstarters, but when something really special attracts me, I'm going to go for it.
You don't think she would like a fidget cube?
It's not her thing.
Okay.
She's not a fidgeter.
You could get one for her too.
I know. She's not a fidgeter.
You could do? Get the other supervisors and managers in your area
uh-huh.
to buy like a huge thing of them, because they get cheaper as the bigger more you buy.
Yeah, sure.
As a department gift.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a pretty good idea.
And then you'd get one.
Yeah. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Now I kind of want to do that for my department. Maybe I will.
Yeah, can I back a Kickstarter and then expense it?
Yeah, I don't know why you couldn't. Once the bill came through, of course you could.
Yeah, well, but then I wouldn't have a product. I'd have probably have to wait for the product to arrive, wouldn't I?
No. I book flights and then expense them months before
thing.
I take them.
It's a different thing.
No, it's not. You prepaid for a service.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm telling you, you could totally do it.
I don't know.
Hey, anyway. If there's any listeners on that are listening right now that happen to know about our expense system, maybe you could tell us if that would get approved.
Our company procedures.
How would he know?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that looks cool.
Cool. So, yeah, it's check it out if you haven't seen it. If you're a fidgeter, because I always am fidgeting with something, a poker chip or a golf ball or something.
I'm super happy to have this pop socket on the back of my phone because it's something I just constantly open up and close in my pocket.
I do think I'm going to join the pop socket cult.
You should.
When I get my new iPhone.
Yeah, so. You should. It's great. I love the pop socket. So. I think when I get my next phone, I'm going to put it down lower. I mean, like, okay, so right now it's in the exact center of my phone, so I can set it down and I can spin it. And that's pretty spectacular.
That is.
That's pretty spectacular. But for usability, I feel like I would like it a little bit lower, because then I could also stand it upright.
Yeah, and like when I hold my phone, because it's so big, I hold it like this.
Yeah.
So it would make sense to have it.
Right. I know this is a great radio, great podcasting where nobody can see exactly what we're doing.
Whatever.
But
use your imaginations.
Go to popsockets.com. Okay.
So
buy yourself a popsocket.
All right. We need to keep moving on here. Let's talk about Grand Con.
Yeah.
So it already happened, but hey, we haven't been there yet. So let's talk about what we're going to do while we're there.
Play some games.
Yeah. We're going to play a lot of games. Mm-hmm.
Hey, is the Game Crafter doing their contest this year?
If they are, I didn't sign up for it. I don't know.
Okay. I
actually really wanted to sign up for it, and then. Yeah. And then I just did it.
Okay. Because I didn't hear or see any tweets about it.
I heard they were going to do it.
Okay.
And I heard that, because I want to say, I could be totally wrong, but I swear when I talked to Tavis at Gen Con, he said they were going to try and find a way to maybe incorporate their new stuff they're doing. So,
yeah, sure.
Which that new stuff is fantastic.
Sure,
the 3D stuff.
Laser cut tiles and things, yeah.
It is. Did you see some of the stuff people did with it?
Yeah, it's beautiful stuff. Yeah, really beautiful stuff.
People are amazing.
Yep.
That was just, they were like, hey guys, what's the best you got? And the people were just like, amazing stuff.
I've got all these amazing things.
Like they were like, people will make standees. And they were like, no, we'll make full on D&D stuff for campaigns.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Insanely good and awesome. Yeah. That's a super cool service. Like they're going to have a whole new business in just selling D&D terrain and accessories.
Yeah, yeah. So basically that is the production equivalent of emergent gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. They were like, hey, look, you can make these standees. And people were like, I can do way better than that, bro.
It's expensive. It's pricier than anything else they've got on there, but it's super cool.
And it also makes sense that it's pricier based on what you're getting and what they have to do. It's all custom.
Right,
so.
Right. I'm not being critical of that.
I'm just standing up for why it is.
Yeah. So anyway, so what are we doing at Grand Con?
Well,
so you're going to be there on Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to be there all day Friday. I'm running an event every day.
Mm-hmm.
Friday at 2, Saturday and Sunday at 10, and those events are playing Unreal Estate with people. Mm-hmm. Play with the designer. That's me. Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be wowing them with the awesome game and the awesome artwork on set game.
Yep.
And then I'm going to be hounding Corinne Roberts, probably buying more art than I should, because she'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And now she has to talk to me because she knows me now. I'm not just this weird guy who buys art from her.
That creepy guy who just kind of stares at her and goes, I like your art.
I'm this weird guy that got her a sweet gig doing sweet art for a sweet game.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Right. You can still go, I really like your art.
I'm not going to do that.
You shouldn't, though. That'd be creepy.
So, all right. So, other than that, my plan is to do some shopping and just play a crud ton of games.
Yeah.
Both prototypes
and
others. You're bringing prototype wise?
I am bringing prototype wise Storm Chasers, and I am bringing Banefire, which. Oh, you're right there?
Yeah, this. You drink the soda too fast. It's got a little. I don't know.
Yeah.
That, you know, that aroma
that
you
hug.
Get of that bourbon. Yeah.
That bourbon hug.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah. A little bit of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's what they call the Jim Beam Stillhouse. The bourbon hug.
I see.
Yeah.
Nice.
Banefire, only played it once so far with Christine and then made basically ground up revisions and rebalance to it. So this next version will be completely untested when I bring it. I'm only going to be there on Saturday and Sunday. I won't be able to get off work on Friday.
Right.
But yeah, so that'll be a good time.
Indeed it
what,
should
what,
be.
What protos are you bringing?
I am bringing, I'll have Minecraft Madness. I got that back from the publisher. Oh, good. Hey,
yeah, if you
did I tell
about...
you guys that got rejected, so that was cool.
Right.
But the publisher sent me the prototype back, which is pretty sweet. Oh, I did talk about that getting rejected. I did. We didn't talk about the other rejections, which we should talk about, but in a minute here.
Sure.
But anyway, so I got that back. Very excited to get it in the mail. The guy, super awesome for sending it back to me. Love
yes.
that guy.
Yes, super cool.
And then I will also have with me 5-day forecast.
5-day forecast.
Which I made a bunch of revisions based on our last playtest. I feel pretty solid about those, even though I haven't tried them.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the 5-day forecast.
Well, get ready to do some chores, kids.
Yeah.
Make some money.
Could be a good Kickstarter video.
It could be. So yeah, that's how the game works. I actually don't even know how it works right now.
Okay.
I haven't decided on the end game yet because I changed it, so it's a different.
Didn't
now.
We talk that through a lot?
Yeah. But
hey, we recorded that though. You should listen back to that episode.
We never. I don't think feel like we ever got to a really good point as to when the game would end. So.
I feel like I gave you some pretty good ideas.
Yeah, you talked a lot.
Well,
that's what you do.
That's what we both do.
So, anyways, yeah. I'm going to have that. And then I feel like there's other stuff, but I don't know what it is off the top of my head, so I'm going to say no. That's all I got. All
right.
I'll show you the crap out of Unreal Estate if you'll back it, though, whoever you are listening that wants to play Unreal Estate.
Absolutely.
Back on Real Estate. Hey, let's talk a little bit about... so we're just kind of wandering around here, I know, today, guys.
Yeah,
sorry,
meandering conversation. What else is going on at GrandCon?
I think that's it.
Okay, all right, moving on.
So let's talk about some rejections. Yeah. Hey, rejections.
I feel like we need some rejection music here.
That was my rejection music.
Okay, that's not bad.
Whatever. So anyways, rejection. Let's get
Boy,
real for a moment.
We've been having
here.
A lot of rejections lately, haven't
that's
we?
That's all right. So we both got rejected by... Oh, Rob's drinking.
My mouth is full. Should I get the soundboard back out?
No, I don't think we need the soundboard.
No, okay, all right. We both got rejected by AEG.
Yeah! Hey, you know what? I've been rejected by lots of people, but AEG, it feels good to be rejected by them.
Sure, that's a good one.
Because they're big, you know?
Yeah, hey, so, it's, they talked to us. They looked at our crap, so that's that's progress.
Yeah, but it was all right. They Ryan Dancy, again, a nice dude, very good about it.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is exactly what we both expected to
Absolutely.
Happen. Absolutely. But, yeah, so...
Yeah, kind of a nice little follow-up to last week's conversation where we talked about the waiting.
Yeah,
and now
we
don't have to wait anymore.
Nope, now I'm just going to take Ramblers and...
set it on fire?
Dig a hole somewhere and just bury it.
And then let Quimby pee on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's my dog, by the way, not like my son or something, just to be clear. So, we also have a bunch of questions and some voicemails and stuff, so I thought we could go through those before you pitch the game.
Okay.
And then,
Boy, we're tearing right along. I feel like there should be some more to talk about. Oh, I do want to say, I played Saloon Tycoon with some folks this past weekend, and so I'm pretty good at that game, as it turns out. I've played it a lot. I won this time with... 108 points.
At the end of the game. That's a lot of points.
That's the highest score I've ever gotten.
How high does a score tracker go, Rob?
Goes up to 100.
Oh!
So I broke that. The one person I talked to at Gen Con said he got 127.
He's a liar.
So
I'm just kidding. I think
he was good, and the people he was playing with didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
And in the game that I played...
Also maybe not sure how to keep score.
In the game that I played, it was Christine and I playing with two other people who'd never played before.
But Christine knows her stuff.
Christine was in last place. So she was having an off night.
Oh.
So I think she was having an off night, plus the other two competitors were not on their game. So I slaughtered them. But, it still felt pretty good.
That's pretty good. I played some games recently too. I know you're like, what? You played games?
What? Jason played games?
I played a lot of Unreal Estate. I played Sushi Go. That was fun. I also played a little Dragon Slayer, which is that nice little dice game. It's a pressure luck dice game.
Oh, yeah.
That I found at Grand Con
last year. Right. I still need to play that.
Yeah, with Han and Mills. It was good. So I also played a new game. So my friend Alan recommended to me to try the game Splendor.
Mm-hmm.
He actually drew out for me how to play it in like 4 minutes, and I was sold. I was like, yes, done. I'm going to buy that game. I ordered it right then on Amazon. sent it to my house, and we played it for the first time this weekend. And so it's a little economic game where you it's an engine building game as well, I would say, where you are buying gems. You're buying these cards that have gems on them, and then you keep the gems when you get them, right? So the cards line up and they keep growing your gem set.
Mm-hmm.
And for every gem you have on a card, it's like a free gem to spend that you don't lose. It's permanent, right? So you can take tokens with gems on them, which you do in the beginning, and then you do that less and less as the game goes along, right?
Uh-huh.
And more you just rely on this kind of gem bank you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
This empire, gempire, if you will.
Gempire.
Whoa.
That, I feel like...
My head just exploded.
I kind of want to make a game now called Gempire.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Wow.
So, anyways...
If you don't, I'm going to steal it.
Somebody probably already made a game called Gempire.
I don't care.
Done. Copyright. But I played it with my wife, and we both loved it. I downloaded the iOS app, and I've been playing it ever since. The iOS app is really good for it.
All right.
It's really like I beat my wife pretty. It was close, right? It was a few points off that I won by. And then I've been playing the computer probably 5 or 6 times. The closest I've come to winning was 10 to 15. Cool. The computer had 15, I had 10. And that was the best score I've ever gotten against the computer. Most of my scores hovered around 5.
Oh.
So the computer's really good, or I'm really bad. I'm not sure.
Well, at least you're better than your wife.
Right. Well, again, it was like 2 turns later and she would have beat me. So it's not like it was real tight. You know what I mean? It was a very tight game. Anyways, that was a good game. I'm going to bring it to Grand Con so I can play it with some people. Although I bet they have it in the board game library, but I'll bring it anyways because I really want to play it again. Lots of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. We have some questions.
We do.
First one is from Josh Mills.
Uh-oh.
He said...
Hey, I saw him on the TV.
Yeah, he's on the TV. Find him on the DIY Network on season 6 of Garage Gold.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of that. It was definitely a DIY show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was Josh?
Josh was great.
Was he
Josh
entertaining? Was
always great. He was entertaining.
Yeah, I can only imagine he was entertaining.
I feel like the editor didn't give enough room to breathe in that episode, so I'll look forward to seeing his antics more in future episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they make him look dumb all the time? Was he like the dumb guy?
Oh, no. No, he looked like probably the most reasonable and the one with the best hair.
Well, I mean, was there any haircut. Doubt there?
I prefer him with the big bushy hair.
Oh.
Yeah, he got a haircut. He saw the beard. But the main guy on that show... I mean, I don't mean to be too critical, but Duke could use a stylist, all right? That's what I'm saying.
Maybe anyway. Mills could help him out with that.
Yeah. Josh, help your buddy out there. Okay.
Anyway. Josh Mills, our gentleman Yeti friend. Gentleman Yeti. Josh, I feel like that should be your name on Twitter.
Yeah, gentleman Yeti.
You should look into that.
That's pretty good. Halloween costume. Yes. What was his question?
His question was, what trap do you fall into when you're designing?
Ooh.
For you, is it a grid? Only if you're pitching on the fly.
Right, yeah. It's only if I'm on the spot. What trap do I fall into? Making things too simple. I think focusing on one mechanic and then stopping there and not fleshing it out, not adding more value and more complexity and more interest. And I should know better because every time I tried to keep Saloon Tycoon simple, it stayed not so fun. Or it didn't get any better. But every time I added another layer to it, it got more exciting and more interesting. And every time I gave the player more options, it made the game better. And I don't think I was... it was unreasonable for me to be afraid of that and for me to be cautious of that.
Of course.
But in basically all of the prototypes that I've made lately, I know that they're too simple and I'm afraid of adding complexity. And I don't know why. It's stupid and irrational. But it's just... It's some gut reaction that I've been having to keep it simple. And that's something that I've wanted to do since, you know, we started doing this crap 4 years ago, you know?
Right.
Make simple games. But it's just apparently not something I'm good at.
Right.
So I keep trying to reach for that. I need to get past that.
I've been running into that problem a lot as well. Mm-hmm. Like, the issue I tend to run into is I'll make a game, like a first pass of my prototypes lately... I feel like don't have enough meaningful decisions or enough tough decisions, right? Like, it's like, oh, I'll just do this. It's cool. Whatever. oh, I'll just, or the, so they either be too easy to succeed or not, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the, my first pass at 5-day forecast was just too easy to succeed, right? It was just, and then my first pass at 6-gun Shogun was too easy to just not succeed and just lose consistently. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know.
Like, Storm Chasers, you've played that several times with me.
Oh, yeah. And,
I mean, I feel like what's there works fine, but, it's just very simple, you know?
Right. I mean, it's not like it's breaking any new ground or anything, right?
No,
I mean,
right.
Just, it is what it is.
Right. In, and I don't know, and if I make it more complicated, it means I kind of have to start over again, basically, you know, just kind of go back to the thematic idea and, you know, turn order and spinning a token and keep that stuff and then just start over with everything else. And I'm afraid of doing that. And I probably, frankly, either need to do that or just abandon it entirely.
Right.
Maybe I should just put it down and not worry about it anymore. But that's kind of, that kind of thing is what I've been thinking about for that. And I'm worried about Banefire being at that place too. After I test it, I'm worried that it'll be kind of one of those things. Well, I mean, it works, but that's all you can say for it.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. It's like, this is all right. That's how I feel a lot of times about something. Like, it's all right.
It's all right. It's not exciting though. There's nothing really cool or, you know, there's nothing really fun. There's nothing in it that makes me want to say, yeah, let's play that again right now.
I will use my favorite words ever of Matt Loomis from the first time I met him.
Yeah.
I don't hate this game.
Yeah.
But I don't think I ever want to play it again.
Yeah.
Still my favorite Matt Loomis advice
sure,
ever.
Right. But,
but that's how you feel sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You're
right.
Like
honest.
Honest of just like, this game's not bad. It's just, but it's not engaging. Like it's just, it was it's just not a fun, like, but I mean, to be fair, I've played a lot of published games like that.
Sure.
Oh, where you play it once and you're like, oh, that's all right.
That's fine.
I don't ever want to play that again. And people are like, it's amazing.
Yeah. So I mean, that you're starting to talk about different tastes. So if we're talking about our own personal tastes, which is something that should matter when we're designing our own games.
Right.
Then we need that to be something where we say, ooh, I want to play that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Email here.
Ooh.
It's from Nick Shaw. Nick says, hey, Rob and Jason. Good way to start off. Because, you know.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing, man? I've had a couple of games, a game at ease recently, that after that initial splurge of excitement, when you're frantically writing ideas down, I discovered another game exists or is about to come out that is very similar
to
one I've started designing. And I mean around 60 to 70% the same. Maybe one or two mechanics are different, or the theme isn't exactly the same, but it's similar enough to make me stop and think, is this even worth continuing my design?
Mm-hmm.
Has this situation happened to either of you before? Oh, yeah. And what do you think of it? What do you do about it? Is there a point at which you think this really isn't unique enough in the marketplace anymore, and there's no point in carrying on work on it? Thanks, Nick.
I think you've encountered that more than I have, but I did encounter that two times with Saloon Tycoon. So I'll start with that. So I was pretty deep in development on that, and then Pagoda came out from AEG. And Pagoda, if you haven't seen it, is a game where you put down tiles and you put cubes on the four corners of those tiles, and then you put another tile on top of that, and you build up a 3D structure. And I saw that, and I kind of for a couple of days just threw up my hands and shoved everything aside and said, well, I guess I'm done with this idea because that just did it.
Right.
But I kind of got over it. Oh, that looks real good, man. Jason just showed me a picture of the Unreal Estate box.
Oh, it looks so good. And you can't see it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway. It just popped up on my feed, so I had to look at it.
So it was really discouraging with Pagoda. But I read more about it online, and I said, well, so that stacking mechanic is absolutely the same, but going through the rules, I'm seeing some mechanical differences here, and it's obviously a smaller game, so maybe there's still room for mine. I don't know. It's kind of the best thing I've got going right now, so I'm going to keep going. And then down the road, Castles of Mad King Ludwig came out, and it looks different on the table, but reading the description of it, it sounded really similar.
Right.
And I said again, oh, holy crap. I don't know. Am I just making that same game where you're putting tiles on top of each other instead of all over the table?
Mm-hmm.
But I powered through it because I still really believed in the game and I thought it was cool. And I still haven't played Ludwig, but I got to demo Pagoda at Gen Con 1 year and was reassured that it was a very different game. I've talked to people who've played Ludwig and they say that, you know, kind of outward, quick, brief, you know, elevator pitch of the game. It sounds similar, but there are a lot of fundamental differences between the two, and that I don't have anything to worry about there. And I think so far the fans of Saloon Tycoon have agreed with that.
In which game is everybody talking about now? Just saying. Saloon Tycoon. Have you ever even heard anything about Pagoda anymore?
No.
Because when Saloon Tycoon came out, they dropped those boxes right on Pagoda. Splat!
Yeah.
I don't know. I made that part people, up. But.
Ludwig, though, King Ludwig is still very well loved.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever. Yeah.
And I would say
I don't love it. I don't love it.
Well, you haven't played it. So,
true. Yeah. Neither of you, but.
Right. Yeah, so that kind of stuff happens. You've had some personal experiences with that stuff, too.
Yeah, I mean, I am more likely to just be like, oh, screw it. I give up. Mm-hmm. Because that's just who I am. I'm a giver-upper. I give up on stuff. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, really, to be fair, I mostly just give up. I get very discouraged when I find out that something else, you know, I hate when you have like a really good, you feel like what's a great idea and then it's immediately just shot down. And one of those recently was, what was it? Oh yeah. So I literally didn't even design the game. I was like, I'm going to design a simple dice game. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. It needs a catchy name. Ooh, Dice Kwando. And I was like, that's amazing. Somebody already made a game called Dice Kwando.
Yeah.
And like, even though it came out like, a few years back and really hasn't went anywhere. I mean, it's a game about dice where you're fighting Taekwondo style.
Yeah.
That's not really what I would call unexplored territory anymore.
No, sure.
So,
but with that, with a good name like that, it's a good hook.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you had a similar situation with My Cards too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that was that turned out to be great, right? Because I'm making My Card Madness. I'm feeling really good about it. People are liking it, and all of a sudden, I hear about crazy cards coming out from Portal games. Yeah, yep. And. I mean, it was like, oh gosh, it's gnomes and carts, I'm done. And then I went and looked, and you know what? It's very different. That game actually, and no disrespect to the game does not sound interesting to me at all because of the way you play it with two players controlling the same cart and like blindfolded or something. I don't know. It just didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's a great game, but it didn't do it for me at all in the description.
It's a very different game.
Yeah. Incredibly different game. So I felt really good about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things where, you know, you have to, if it happens to you, you sometimes you got to take it on the chin, you know, and just, all right, well, moving on. But it's, if you really believe in the game that you're working on, you owe it to yourself to stop and take the time to look at it, look at the other game that's out there, and really assess, you know, number one, how similar is it really?
Right.
And then number two, how important to me is this design?
Right.
You know, do I care about this?
And, hey, is the theme matter? Could I change the theme to something else?
Yeah.
You know, what do you feel about that?
Right. So, but that's a good question. Yeah, and that can be a rough experience.
All right. Hey, here's a voicemail.
Rob, Jason, and Shu. I am currently in the queue at PAX West 2016 on Monday, and I thought I would, A, call from PAX and let you know about some cool stuff that's going on today. You guys never make it to PAX. Struggling to make packs. Anyway, their Playtest Northwest booth is something I'm super excited about. Like, our local Playtest Guild out here has a booth on the sixth floor. It's going to be really cool. I'm going to meet some people who I've talked to on Twitter there. That's really exciting. The other reason I called was I feel like you left out this episode the fact that you had us ask you a dumb question. Irritated. And I feel like that needs to have been said. Also, the game you pitched, Blood Fire or something like that.
All right, good message. Shu, sorry about that. I think we really couldn't understand what you're saying once that guy started yelling in the background. And
I think he was talking about the game Banefire.
Banefire, but
he said Bloodfire, which sounds like a great name.
But he didn't. He got cut off before we could hear what his comments were. So sorry about that. But I hope you had a good time at PAX. I would love to go sometime. Yeah, I mean, it's just not. It's so far away, right? I think it's going to have to be a real special event for me to justify that kind of a trip. Yeah, our convention budget is about as maxed out as it can get financially and in terms of familial patience. It's probably the most appropriate way to put it. I don't want to speak for you, Jason, but I, yeah.
Yes, patience, very important.
Yeah. Okay, and so we've gotten a lot of voicemails about Pokemon. Honestly,
yeah,
a lot of voicemails is enough that I don't think we're going to play anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, we haven't played it. I think we played Eric's the one time in the past on the show.
We've played a couple of them actually.
Oh, have we played?
Daniel had one.
Oh, yeah.
Eric, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we're kind of done with Pokemon.
Well, yeah, we've just gotten a lot of the same comments, which are people listening to the old episodes talking about Ingress and stuff like that. And
yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you guys, but
yeah,
but we know that especially all the builders that don't care about Pokemon really don't want to listen to it, so we're not going to put you through that. So Rob's going to pitch a game.
I'm going to pitch.
That's what's going to happen now.
Okay, so I was on this vacation in Kentucky, right? And
indeed you were.
Yeah, and we went to the Jim Beam Stillhouse, and we went to Mammoth Cave, and then we spent 3 days staying in a cabin in the Daniel Boone National Forest, which is on the eastern end of Kentucky, specifically the Red River Gorge area, which is a very, very beautiful place. If any builders out there are looking for a vacation spot for some really good hiking, some cool terrain, well worth the trip. We loved it. And in the evenings, as we relaxed from strenuous hiking all day, we don't have cable at home. I mean, we just stream stuff. So we don't ever get to watch all the garbage TV that just kind of falls out of the TV into your eyes and ears.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah. But there was cable at the cabin. So we found ourselves and I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I don't care because we all know who we are. Right. And we all know that garbage television is there to fill a need.
Yeah.
Right. Because if that need didn't exist, it wouldn't exist.
Right.
Okay. So we found ourselves watching a lot of episodes of My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I've never heard of that.
Okay.
Ever.
So it's a reality show about modern American gypsies and how they, their terrible customs with weddings and the ridiculous, enormous, stupid dresses that the women wear, and about all the men getting in fist fights and getting really drunk and beating the crap out of each other at weddings. It's one of those things that like reminds me of Game of Thrones, where you know, where they say like a Dothraki wedding is considered a pretty tame affair if there aren't at least three murders, right?
Right.
You know, so it's that kind of thing. Like an American gypsy wedding is pretty boring if there isn't at least one fist fight and the cops show up.
Right.
You know, so
I mean, except for that this is all on TV. I'm sure they're stoking some fires to make this bad.
Of course they are. Of course they are,
like,
right?
Is there a big enough population of gypsies in America they can have this show?
If you believe, I don't know, is it on TLC or something? But if you believe the show, then they're everywhere.
I'm sure there's people with gypsy heritage everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a terrible reality show on TV. And we were pretty drunk and loving it. Okay,
I'm judging you a little bit.
It's amazing. You can judge me. I'm not ashamed. A little embarrassed, but not ashamed. Anyway, and please, if there are any builders out there who are of that heritage, I don't mean to make fun of your heritage and your cultural identity. And I apologize if I've given any offense.
I think that the show on TLC is doing a good enough job of that. You are just reporting what you're seeing.
Anyway, so we were sitting there pretty drunk, and Christine said that I should make a game about crazy weddings.
And so great.
I have some ideas, and I want to throw some stuff out. This is kind of a free-form pitch, just some basic ideas that I've got.
Right.
I would love any input that you have. I thought it would be fun just to kind of knock this stuff around a little bit.
Let's knock it.
So I'm thinking this is called The Wedding Planner. All right.
Okay.
Or wedding planner, the card game. It's just a card game.
Okay.
Okay.
Probably the least real estate this game takes up, the better.
Yeah. So the players obviously are wedding planners, and you are trying to at the start of the game, you're going to be dealt a bride card. Okay. And there's a lot of different brides that could be in the game, but the bride is the one, the bride has hired you to plan her wedding for her. Okay. And on her card, there is like three standard demands that the bride has. Okay. And that there, I'm going to say there are like 7 different demands, maybe even less. So I'm thinking things like the dress, the colors,
okay,
the guest list. Let's see. I think each of these things needs like a corresponding feature. So it's like if her demand is a guest list and her guest list is 300 people, then in order to fulfill that, you need to find a venue that can hold 300 or more people, right?
That makes sense.
Okay. For the dress, she wants a dress with a rating of, I don't know, whatever. You know, a 10. 10 out of 10 for bling. And
10 out of 10 for bling.
Yeah. Like, seriously, in this show, the dresses are, like, covered in jewels. And it's, you should, you know, if you're bored one night, look it up. Anyway.
Will do.
You need, and what was the other one I was saying? Oh, color. So you need, and all these cards are going to have suits on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to make sure that the dress, the colors of the dress matches the colors for the decorations in the venue. And these are kinds of the ideas that you're trying to connect together, right? Okay. So, as you're playing the game, there's a deck of cards that, some of those, so I think there's probably a deck of wedding pieces, and it might be dresses, it might be locations, it might be decorations, it might be bridesmaids' dresses, it might be groomsmen clothes, suits and things. Yeah, you're going to need an officiant, and you need a, sometimes you need one venue can handle everything, or sometimes you need 2 venues, one for the wedding, one for the reception.
Right. Okay?
And different brides are have different demands.
You should have if the specific demands aren't meant, if so many things aren't meant, that there's a bridezilla clause and then something negative happens.
Yeah, sure. So the structure that I'm thinking of so far, as you play the game, you're going to need money, you're going to have a budget, and you're going to have to spend money. You can draw cards from this main deck of stuff, but in order to play a card from your hand onto the table, that means you're actually planning, you're locking that down for the wedding. You have to spend mm-hmm. money to lock that thing down, right?
That makes sense.
Okay. And you might be able to trade cards to other players to get money from them. Then there's going to be another a stack of like action cards or something that you're going to be using to potentially gain more money or dig through the deck, the item deck to get the specific stuff you want.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you're just going to run out of money and you have to go back to the bride. And worst case scenario, you can go back and ask the bride more money. But every time you ask her for more money, you're going to have to take another bride card, which is going to give you another demand that you have to fill.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
So that's the main way that you're going to be moving forward, basically.
Yeah.
And so as you're playing cards down in front of you, you're planning out this wedding. And you might get contradictory demands at some point from the bride.
Love it.
Bride doesn't care. It's not important to the bride. It's your problem, not hers.
Right.
Right? You don't score anything until the end of the game. At the end of the game, you lay out all your demands, and you have to see how many you missed. And everybody starts basically at 0 points because the bride doesn't appreciate anything. Okay. And you lose points for every demand that you failed on. And you want to be the wedding planner who failed the least.
Right.
Because those brides are the bridezillas are that bad.
Right.
And well, I mean, it was inspired by this gypsy thing, but I think it'd be better suited if it was just a wedding planning. It would not generically right. wedding planner bridezilla kind of thing.
You were looking for a generic wedding planner game about negative bride stereotypes.
Yeah, right. And I would like to call it Bridezilla's the game, but I don't think you could actually call it that because that's probably trademarked.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. Yeah. There's a show called Bridezilla's.
Right, yeah. So. I think it's Fox, but yeah. So that's like the basic form of that. I don't know if you have any thoughts.
I wish I did, but I really don't know what to say about
okay.
that.
I don't know. It just seemed like a silly thing. A silly thing that would be kind of fun to explore. I don't know if there's a market for such a thing, but it's very different from anything I've worked on before, and I kind of want to see it through. Right. You know, just because it's so different and so silly.
It is.
Well,
who knows? You might do that, and then after exploring the game, realize there's a theme that's more marketable, or maybe somebody wants to be crazy and publish a game about Bridezilla.
Like, that would be different from anything on Kickstarter, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's funny. And that maybe it would... reach a different market that doesn't normally care about that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, I bet if there was a Bridezilla's game on Kickstarter, my wife would let me back that. She'd say, oh, I want to see that. That's cool. Or I bet it's the kind of thing it would probably get shared on Facebook pretty well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I kind of want
to... Do you know any brides that need this game?
Yeah. Or it's just funny, you know? So it's super loose, right? Super loose. I like that scoring thing. And I think there's only a set number of turns because you only have so long until the wedding happens, right?
That makes sense.
So there's just a set number of turns and then it's too late. You're out of time.
Right.
You're out of time.
You could even have like a time tracker that involved you having to lock something down by a certain time.
Yeah, right. There's a tracker and you move your piece up as it goes.
And that could be like on the bride card. It could say uh-huh. there's three demands. Mm-hmm. It could have an order 1, 2, 3 for locking them,
sure.
right?
Sure.
So like when it gets to lock one, everyone has something to lock, but it's not the same for everyone necessarily.
Sure.
It's what their bride has demanded.
Yeah. And I think there are even different styles of dresses, right? Because dresses have different styles, you know. One with sleeves, empire waist is a thing, right?
I have no idea, dude.
Yeah, well, you've been married forever, so you don't remember this stuff.
I didn't know that when we got married,
but you
what
also
empire waist meant.
Don't have a bunch of little sisters-in-law that talk about girl yeah. stuff all the time.
You're right, I don't.
Yeah. Wait
I'm
until your daughter.
Thankful for that.
Wait until your daughter gets to be a teenager.
My
you're
daughter's
going to
be
all
a lumberjack.
You say that now.
She can be whatever she wants, but if I had to guess, I'd say she's yeah. going to be a lumberjack.
Well, I'm saying I'll have to get a lot of reference material for my wife, right?
Right.
Yeah. So maybe crowdsource some ideas there. But yeah, just different features, you know. You can't just have here's a dress, but it's got to be their very specific type of dress. And the color of the dress has to match the color of the other things that you're getting for the wedding, right?
Right.
And bride is going to want a DJ, another bride is going to want a band, another bride is going to want a string quartet or something, right? On and on and all
right.
these different things, entertainments.
Another one might not want music.
No music at all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you know, and then maybe every music act has a percentage chance to irritate the guests,
yeah.
and if the bride wants her uncle to be the music with his guitar because she thinks he's great, but he's really bad, so he pisses off all the guests and everybody leaves early. I don't know. There might be something in that for final scoring.
Yeah,
I'm probably overthinking that.
Probably, it's a thought.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems really goofball and like the kind of goofball that interests me. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I feel like there'd be a better name than wedding planner.
Yeah.
There's got to be a better name. I don't know what it would be. I mean, Bridezilla would be the best name, but...
Disaster Wedding.
Edge of Disaster. Wedding Edition. Apocalyptic Weddings.
Yeah. Wedding Apocalypse. Wed Apocalypse.
Yeah. Wed Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Bride Apocalypse.
Well, yeah.
Bridemageddon.
Bridemageddon. Wedpocalypse, the Bridemageddon.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
All right.
I don't know. Builders, what do you think? Should I make a game about wedding planning and angry evil brides? Or should I move on? Is there already a game about wedding planning, the planning that I should know about? Am I copying something?
I'm going to guess the answer is no.
I mean, Nick, have you heard of that such a thing? Should I just give up right now?
That's what Nick was working on.
Oh, Nick,
man, poor guy.
Well, I hope you're already working on it because that means you got a heads up on me or a leg up on me.
Dress up.
A dress up on me, right.
A leg up with a garter.
Whoa. Oh, cake. Who made the cake? How many tiers? Is it going to be a many tiered cake? Is there
47 tiered?
47.
Cake.
How many tiers? There could just be a standard cake card. And you need to get as many of those as you can that are equal or greater than the number of tiers that the bride wants.
Actually, it would be funny if, like, every time you upset the bride, you had to add two more tiers to the cake. Like, that was her revenge, was like, we're going to need now a 13-tier cake.
One of her demands would probably be the number of tiers in the cake. And so, if her initial thing is, I want a 4-tier cake, and then later on you get another demand that's like, I want 4 more tiers. It would be 4 tiers, but you'd have to add those together, so now it needs to be an 18-tier cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Until you get to 47.
That's actually pretty good.
And then Doctor Who called. Not Doctor Who, Dr. Seuss called.
Dr. Seuss? Is there 47?
He's just always carrying around all that weird food with the Kerkrumpets and Burbumpets and stuff.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've read Dr. Seuss.
Oh, well, it's been a long time since yesterday for me. So. Yeah.
Kids. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. You look like you're going to fall asleep.
I feel like it, too.
So I think that means it's time to wrap it up. So thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. No more Pokemon calls, please. Thank you. though I think that the sheer number of those calls that we've gotten is another amazing representation of the impact that Pokemon has had in our culture.
It's true.
It's really incredible. You can follow us on Twitter at PodcastBTG. Jason is at J.A. Slingerland, and I am at PoorlyUnderscoreDesigned. You can like us on Facebook and give us a 5-star review on iTunes and buy our games. Go to our website, buildinggamepodcast.com, where you can find links to buy the Water Balloon Washout and Rumplebum Academy for Bug-Based Baking and Finish It, the Outrageous Storytelling Party Game, and look for Unreal Estate on Kickstarter either right now or very, very soon.
Yes.
And come on back next week, and we'll talk to you more.
Woohoo!
All right, bye-bye.
Watch out! Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Weird. OS X sounds amazing. Things you can do like this. Like, here's my phone.
Yeah.
Pick it up and look, and it lights up, shows me, and
that's
I set it back
from
down.
The Apple Watch thing.
Yeah. Did you see that it's got the Find Your Car thing, too? So you're driving, and it knows you're driving. When you stop, it's like, pin.
Yep.
But no, I'm going to order the new one tonight. It's going to be super cheap for me because I'm ready for an upgrade.
I don't have any idea.
Pin.
Yeah, so that's frustrating, but
pin.
But yeah, I can't give
pin.
Up
pin.